It was pretty easy to pick a topic today. I always think when I get to speak in February, I like to speak about love and try not to be talk the other side of it. And I think with all the weather that we have and kind of the things that happened to us in February is just trying to get around. It's good to talk about Christ and to talk about his life. And because when you read the Gospels and you read everything about him, it just every day was love. He just loved everybody he met and everybody he was around. The only thing I find in the Gospels that looks negative is when he was with the devil, when the devil tempted him in the Scriptures. But the rest of that seems to be about love. So I'd like to start out with reading 1 Corinthians 13. Read that whole chapter, and where Paul said the most excellent way to live, and that most excellent way is the way of love. So I'm going to read that chapter. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not have, behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. In verse 1 through 3, Paul said that love is more important than spiritual gifts, or knowledge, or faith, or generosity, or even a willingness to die for Christ. Or even if we had all that, but do not have love, they would be as useless and empty as beating a gong outside of a pagan temple. In verse 4, Paul tells us that love is patient. Love has a long fuse. Love is slow to boil. Love counts down before it blasts off. Then he tells us that love is kind, and that is what I want to consider this morning, is the kindness of love. So with that in mind, let's look at a couple of the clearest examples of kindness in the Bible, and they are found in Luke 8, 40 through 56. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. And he had one only daughter, for 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." While he yet spake there, cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him and saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John and the father and mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. In this passage, we see that Jesus showing kindness. And he's showing kindness to two people who are entirely different. They're entirely opposite. One is a man, and the other is a woman. One is an outcast, poor and unknown. The other is rich and influential and a ruler of the synagogue. And yet Jesus treats both of them with great kindness. By the time of this story, Jesus had gained a great deal of fame and was at the pinnacle of his popularity. People respected him as a healer and a teacher, and crowds were swarming around him wherever he went. In fact, there were times when Jesus had to go off in secret to get time to rest and to pray. But despite the pressures of popularity, despite the crowds constantly pushing him around, despite all the demands on his time, Jesus, in his kindness, stopped everything he was doing to help them and to meet their needs. A man named Cal Thomas wrote, Love talked about is easily ignored, but love demonstrated is irresistible. Jesus not only talked about love and kindness, but he modeled it for us all to read about. So let's look and see why Jesus showed kindness to them, because I think these are the ways that we need to learn to show kindness today. First of all, I paid attention to them. Listen to Luke 8:40-41. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to the house because his only daughter, a girl of 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowd almost crushed him. Now, we're not told where Jesus was going in this story as it begins. Probably he was on his way to some open place where he could teach and preach to the crowd surging around him. And that was something very important for him to be doing. But as soon as Jairus came and told him about his daughter, the very next words we read are, as Jesus was on his way. Eventually, evidently, Jesus immediately changed directions and started following Jairus because his little girl's situation was much more pressing than whatever else he had scheduled. Jesus paid attention to Jairus and changed his plans and directions. But Jairus was not the only interruption, and Jesus was flexible and kind enough to pause and meet another need as they were on their way to his house. And then listen to verse 43-46. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Jesus says, Who touched me? When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you, but Jesus said, Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. There were crowds of people surrounding him, and everyone was in a hurry. Yet Jesus was able to differentiate between the touch of the crowd and the personal touch of a woman who needed his help. Our world is becoming more and more and more impersonal, isn't it? Go to a modern service station today and you don't even have to talk to anybody. You don't talk to anyone anymore. You just put your card in the slot, pump your gas. You can drive away without ever looking at another human being at all. And it's the same way in the bank. How about the airlines? We just went on a trip, and one of the first things I did for each trip was I flew on a couple different airlines, but I downloaded their app. Okay, so I didn't have to go to the counter. I didn't have to do anything. I could do everything on the app. I had to do it within 24 hours. So even the airlines, when you go on trips, make sure that, you know, you're as inconvenienced as possible, and you can just do everything without talking to any other person. So we're getting more and more in personal. We went on a trip a couple years ago, and it used to be where you pushed in the button. And when we were seeing if our plane was going to take off, because a lot of our trips are in the winter, and you kind of wonder if the weather's going to cancel them. And it was funny because I think back on that, and I wrote down what I had to do. And if you want information regarding departing flights, it said push 1. For departing flights, push 2. You push 1 and it says, if you know your flight number, push 1. You push 1 again and it says, push in your flight number. You punch that in and a computerized voice tells you what gate to go to. And can you imagine if when we called 911, we had nobody to talk to? And here's what it could say. If your emergency is a murder, push 1. If it is a burglary, push 2. If the burglar is still in your house, push 3. If he has a gun, push 4 quickly. I mean, we're getting that impersonal nowadays to where people want to do things automatically and categorize you. The world is getting so that we don't talk to each other or interact as Christ did with everyone. He explained kindness by affirming her. And we find this in verse 47 and 48. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." First of all, you need to realize that because of her disease, this woman is an outcast in her society. They treated her like they treated lepers, and because of her disease, she had not been with her family for 12 years. Her self-esteem must have been as low as it could possibly be. Jesus affirms her. He affirms her first of all by listening to her story of woe. I think we have a very condensed version of the story that she told. I mean, she has 12 years of history to tell, and this is the first time she has had anyone's attention for a long time. So imagine that she just poured out her heart and Jesus listened. And by listening, by looking her in the face, by clinging to every word, he affirmed her. He said, "Daughter," as if she was family. Are you a good listener? Most of us probably aren't. We pass each other saying, "How are you?" And we expect an automatic, "I'm fine." But have you ever been caught off guard and someone really tells you just how they feel? I read about a lady named Irma Bombeck, and I was looking for stories of listening. And she died in the 1990s, and she was a columnist in newspapers from 1960 to in the 90s. And she told about a time when she was tired of listening. So there's a story of her just being tired of listening. She had listened to her son tell a minute detail about a movie he had just seen, punctuated by at least 1,000 you knows and okays. And she had received several telephone calls filled with mindless chatter that never seemed to end. So it was with genuine relief that she was able to tell the last caller that she had to rush off to the airport. She got into a taxi cab, and as a taxi cab driver took her to the airport, he told her all about his son, who had won a scholarship at college, and how he was making straight A's. Irma had to sit there and listen to it all. She said, "But once I got to the airport and realized I was 30 minutes early, I breathed a sigh of relief and thought, I have 30 whole minutes when I don't have to listen to anybody. I can just sit here and read my book and not be bothered at all. But no sooner had I opened my book when an elderly female voice said to me, 'I bet it's cold in Chicago.' 'I suppose,' Irma Bombeck replied without looking up from her book. 'I haven't been in Chicago for 3 years,' the woman said. 'My son lives there.' 'That's nice,' said Irma. Then the woman continued, 'My husband's body is on the plane. We were married for 53 years. I don't drive, you see, and the funeral director was so nice. He drove me to the airport today.'" Irma recalls her voice droned on. Here was a woman who didn't want money and advice or counsel. She just wanted someone to listen. And in desperation, she had turned to the total stranger with her story. Irma Bombeck said she continued to talk to me until they announced that we were boarding the plane. We walked into the plane and I saw her sit down in another section, and as I hung up my coat, I heard her say to the person next to her, I bet it's cold in Chicago. There are so many of us who just need somebody, something to listen, just to focus on, to listen on what we have to say. And if you think about it, that's what Facebook is doing to us today, is we talk to each other through these little phones, and we text each other, we send pictures. Facebook is taking the place of us being good listeners. So I believe we're probably the worst listeners we've ever been, is because we have this thing that directs our attention in another way. One thing I said to my wife today, and I'm as bad as anybody else, is I looked at my phone and it says I've been on it for 58 minutes this week. You know, it's weird, it gives you all these statistics anymore. So part of my lesson this morning is to try to get back to listen to each other and to interact with people. And I would really like you to do that this week. If you can concentrate on being Christ-like this week more than any other, and be forgiving, be a listener, interact with your people at work, interact with everybody that you're around. And teachers do get so much of that that I don't know that they need to interact with more people than they do. But a lot of us don't. And we're so busy with the interaction on these little palm pads that it'd be nice to be more Christ-like and interact with each of us one-on-one. The next thing Jesus did is finally Jesus expects kindness through acceptance. Notice what it says in verse 49 through 56. While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's mother and father. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up, and Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, and he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Now let's concentrate on those last few verses. The miracle is exceptional, and we praise God for it. But notice what Jesus told them after the miracle was over. He said to them, "Don't tell anyone what has happened." If you think about some of the most disturbing words that we have today, they're the words that we hear from someone else, and it's, "I told you so." It's fun to speak them, and we realize it when we're the ones saying, "I told you so." But it's very difficult to listen to them, isn't it? Now remember, those people outside the house had mocked Jesus. They'd made fun of him. They were yelling and shouting at him. I'm sure they were calling him names. They laughed at him when he went in. And it'd be hard, you know, for Jesus not to want them to see what he'd done. So we're human. It would be hard for us to not go out and say, "Here she is. I told you so." But Jesus didn't do that. He didn't want to make a big show of what he did. He was concerned about how they felt. He was always passionate to the other person. He didn't want them to ever hear the words, "I told you so. I was right." So psychology-wise, he knew that that wasn't words that we, any of us, ever wanted to hear. So he didn't do that. He didn't tell anybody what happened. He didn't try to get back at them. He didn't go out and glorify himself. He just wanted to leave it the way it was when he left and go about his business. Sometimes it's not so much what we say, but how we say it. The fact that Jesus didn't want to embarrass them and to get even with them speaks volumes and teaches us how we are to respond to each other each and every day. Again, this is something that if this is something that you do, and it's, my wife tells me that I have to be right no matter what. So it's hard for me to be like Jesus. That's not my personality. So that's something that I have to continue to work on, because I try not to speak unless I know I'm right. So if I'm quiet, then I don't know. So that's kind of the personality that I have. So it's hard for me to be like Jesus. And there's a story that talks about how we need to be, and it's a story about a girl. There was construction workers were building a high-rise across the street from a hospital. As they were working on the third floor, they noticed a little girl standing in the third floor window of the hospital watching them. One day they looked across and saw the little girl hold up a poster that said, "My name is Lisa, what are yours?" So the next day the construction workers came back with some posters, board, and magic markers, and they all wrote down their names. "My name is Bob. My name is Bill. My name's Harry. How old are you?" The next day the little girl held up a sign that said, "I'm 7 years old. How old are you?" Well, this went on for several days, but one day they noticed that Lisa wasn't at her usual place in the window. So at break time, one of the workers called the hospital to ask for the third floor nurse. He asked if he could tell them, if they could tell him anything about Lisa. The nurse said that Lisa had taken a turn for the worst and was now in intensive care. So the workers pooled their money and bought some flowers and a card and wrote a note on it and sent it to Lisa in intensive care. Several days passed by, and then another sign appeared in the window. "Lisa passed away. Thank you for caring." Love is kind. We need to learn to be kind to one another, even as God has been kind to us through Jesus Christ, and as he has offered him as a sacrifice for all of our sins. And that's the last part of my sermon this morning. And I really want to get across to all of us to try to be Christ-like this week. And we need to be Christ-like every week. But I really want you to think about being positive and think about loving one another and think about interacting personally with each other throughout this week. With that, I'd like to offer the gospel invitation to anybody that would like to be in Christ's kingdom and part of his church. You have this opportunity to come forward and to place membership. Also, if you have anything that you would like to make known to the congregation, we give you this opportunity as we stand and sing.